Blog Talk Radio.
Now, PW Torch brings you the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show. It's time to talk this week's WWE SmackDown Live.
Well, Frank, a decent size reveal there at the end of SmackDown tonight. The tease throughout most of this week's episode was Adam Pearce. He's gotten full authority from WWE management to decide Roman Reigns' next challenger to the Universal title at the Royal Rumble. And at the end of the show, we see Seth Rollins face-to-face with Roman Reigns. You know, they didn't outright say it, Frank, but I think it's safe to assume that we're going to see Seth Rollins versus Roman Reigns for the Universal title at the Royal Rumble. You know, I think there's a lot there to get into, but you know, your take here about 8 minutes after seeing that news play out.
I had to do that. That was the only way to start this show, to make that sort of impact. So with my Rollins imitation out of the way, it's something. And probably even better that Pierce didn't actually make the announcement. I think him walking, you know, into the back, you know, and just doing his laugh and then closing out the show like that has more of an impact than, you know, Pierce saying, "Hey, Roman, you're going to face Seth Rollins." You know, that's just kind of plain vanilla. So, I mean, he's got to be the opponent. I can't see them doing this and then, you know, doing something else.
Right.
So,
right.
It's just not, you know, something that they would do. So I am very intrigued to find out, you know, what's to come next week with him being on Raw. You know, that certainly plays in, you know, and how they're going to explain that. Certainly tells me that Drew McIntyre is going to be out for a while. And given the fact that they just released Jeff Hardy, not that Jeff Hardy was one of your top guys, but he could have been a challenger, and they did build him up at Survivor Series, you know, so that might have been, like, he could have actually probably been the Royal Rumble guy, you know? So that being said, you know, this, do I want to say it makes sense? I guess I do. I want to kind of stop short of that because I want to see how they explain this and how they, you know, kind of explain their reasoning. But I am definitely looking forward to seeing how this is going to be all explained, what the interaction between those two is going to be. Obviously, there's a big history between those two. You know, I'm not sure how much they're going to talk about the Shield, but it's there. So, very much intrigued to see what takes place as Mr. Nasally Voice arrives on Friday.
Yeah, intriguing for sure. But to be honest, I think that there's some issues with this, though. Like, that was my first thought was, like, okay, it's going to be kind of cool to watch a Roman Reigns versus Seth Rollins match. But, you know, Seth has been, like, firmly in the heel camp, and not just, like, you know, there's not even, like, any shade of gray with him, you know? I mean, he's a straight-up heel. And Roman Reigns, you know, for most of this kind of resurgent run of his, has been as a heel, too. And he's got this thing going on with Brock Lesnar that I think we'll talk about that, I'm sure, at some point. We'll make sure to talk about it. But, like, that's gotten a little bit muddy because of circumstances at day one. I'm not, you know, quite sure what the definitive direction is anymore with Paul Heyman's involvement. We'll break all that down later. But either way, you know, it's Roman Reigns looking like he's still supposed to be a heel opposite Brock Lesnar. And you have those paths colliding at some point. One, I would imagine WrestleMania, but at some point they're going to pay off that whole story. And I just don't know if it serves that story to put Roman Reigns in a match against another just pesky heel in Seth Rollins. Because I just got to think that fans are going to get behind, or potentially get behind, Roman Reigns just kind of laying a beating on the annoyance that is the Seth Rollins character. So I think it muddies the waters a little bit, albeit intriguing. I mean, what's your thought on how this match affects Roman Reigns and the big business at hand with Brock Lesnar? Because I think that's what you got to be worried most about here, not so much, you know, this match in a vacuum.
You know, not to quote Daniel Bryan, but I think the fans are really fickle at this point. I think you can compartmentalize, you know, and look at the situation. You could look at a potential match with Roman and Seth, and, you know, I could see the fans cheer Roman. When they eventually shift to Brock, I mean, they're gaga over Brock right now as a babyface. I mean, I think.
Yeah, they really are.
You know, including myself. And sidebar, does the guy have underrated mic skills or not? I mean, you know, for the last 10 years, let the guy speak, tonight being evidence. Anyway, different topic.
we'll get there.
I'm okay with it. Generally, I'm with you. Generally, I'm a babyface versus heel kind of guy. But I think in certain situations, especially like this heading into the Rumble, you know the title's not changing hands. So it kind of gives you a little playtime. For lack of a better term, it gives WWE a little bit of playtime where they could do something like this. If I'm looking at the babyfaces on both Raw and SmackDown, I challenge you to find me what babyface you would have lined up. I mean, ain't going to pick one of the New Day guys, so that's out. There's just nobody else on SmackDown that I can think of. I mean, I would have thought Sheamus, right?
Mm-hmm,
but they decided to keep him a heel, so he's out. And there's just nobody else. You go over to Raw. I mean, if you want to pull – I mean, I would have thought maybe AJ Styles, but they destroyed him in 2 minutes on Raw. And he's doing the stuff on NXT, so that's out. I don't think you want to go to a Big E match. I'm making my case and I'm going a little long here, but there's just really aren't the baby face options right now. So, you know, with this, yes, the waters are muddied a little bit, but I think you can get away with it. Given that they have the history, you know, with them being in the Shield in the past, given that they're both polarizing figures, and I think people will just be kind of on the edge of their seats to see how this thing is going to play out, both in the lead-up and in the match.
It's well said, and I think that can certainly be the case. And I just, you know, that to me, it, like Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns is the most important thing happening in WWE right now. And so all roads have to lead to that match at some point. We'll talk about the segment here, I'm sure, with callers in a little bit. But yeah, I mean, you're right. When you look at the SmackDown depth chart in terms of just who they have to go up against Roman Reigns right now, I mean, it's barren. I mean, it's just not there. I mean, Drew McIntyre would have definitely have been, you know, a guy that you could have gone to. And hell, that may have been the plan. But you take him out of the equation, and it gets real slim, like really quick.
You said it's
Baron, so,
Baron Corbin?
Yes, right. Oh gosh, hopefully not him. No, but yes, I mean, but seriously though, like it gets slim quick.
Yeah, no, it does. It does. And, you know, like I said, I mean, I wish I was a fly on the wall in the creative office, but it wouldn't surprise me if they just said, you know what, we don't have any baby faces. Let's do something crazy. Let's do something that, you know, like Vince says, let's get them talking. You know, let's get them talking. Let's see what they say. And, let's just go with Rollins, you know? I mean, I think, and I think he's, I guess Teflon is the right term enough, you know, where you can use him in this situation where, you know, a Roman will be cheered. I mean, my go-to example is like almost 30 years ago, or more than 30 years ago, when Macho Man Randy Savage and Jake Roberts fought on Saturday Night's Main Event, both as heels, you know? And I think, if I remember correctly, that basically was maybe it was 86, and that was actually the start of the turn for Jake. I'd have to think about it, but, you know, it's a situation like that. I remember, like, seeing the match in TV Guide, and my uncle and I talking, because I was staying over the house, and we were just like, well, what, they're both heels, you know, what's going to happen? How is this going to play out? And just that whole intrigue, you know, really locked us into the match. So, you know, yeah, while not ideal and kind of violates, you know, everything that I believe in wrestling, you know, I'm still curious to see how the whole situation plays out, given, you know, the lay of the land in WWE.
Yeah, I hope they explain it too at some point. Where okay, how do they get to Seth Rollins? Because he is a Raw guy. You know, I think it's good to, you know, just explain how it may have been that Seth Rollins was just kind of walking backstage at SmackDown.
Yeah,
and maybe you don't have to go that far, but like, just, you know, why was Adam Pearce allowed to, you know, pick a Raw star? I think that's yeah, important, but intriguing nonetheless, for sure. But we'll pause there. We'll get our all the callers' opinion on this too, and a host of other things. And we got some big announcements for the Women's Royal Rumble participants. We have to break down the Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar segment, and we'll do all that as we open up the phone lines here. But let's set the table first. This is the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show covering the January 7th, 2022 edition of WWE SmackDown. I'm PW Torch, assistant editor Zach Cadorn, filling in for Wade. And if you go VIP, you can check out Wade's rundown of tonight's SmackDown show on the Wade Keller hotline, pwtorch.com/goVIP. That's pwtorch.com/goVIP. You can go a VIP for that and a host of other great podcasts that cover a really diverse array of topics. So there's so much there you can't possibly listen to it all, but it's a well worth your money. pwtorch.com/goVIP. The other voice you hear tonight is that of pwtorch.com contributor and VIP podcast host, Frank Pediani. Frank, great to talk to you, man. Awesome to have you on the show. It's always good to talk SmackDown.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me tonight. And it's been a while. I have actually not done a post show since August. So
wow,
it's been a couple of minutes. Yeah, we had some stuff go on with the car accident, and then my schedule just did not allow me to be on the post show. You know, you had asked me a couple of times, and Wade did, and unfortunately it didn't work out. But I'm glad to be back, and looking forward to talking to the callers and talking about the show.
Absolutely. With that, we'll open up the phone lines. 347-215-8558 is the number. 347-215-8558. Press 1 just so you can let me know that you want to get on the show tonight. We do have a large kind of chunk of callers here, so this will be great. You can also email us, wadekellerpodcast@gmail.com. It's wadekellerpodcast@gmail.com. If you don't want to chat with us tonight, but you have a topic or two to get to, you can hit us up there, and Frank and I will get to the mailbag in a little bit. But with that said, we'll take the first call, 814, and then 615. You will be up next. 814, you are up. Go ahead and state your name and where you're calling us from tonight.
This is Ryan from Cumberland, Maryland.
Hey, Ryan. Great to hear from you, man. What did you think of SmackDown?
It was a pretty good show. And I have an idea for some of Roman's challengers, considering he's building to a match with Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania. Have him wrestle like all the current champions like Shinsuke Nakamura, Braun Breaker, and also Damian Priest, and have him like brag how he can like beat all the current champions leading into his match with Lesnar.
You're saying that Reigns, you think Reigns should do that or shouldn't do that?
That's just like a storyline, you know, since they're building title for title at Mania, like,
yeah,
have them go through like all the champions.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that'd be interesting, you know? I mean, I it's one of those things where it's like, there, it's kind of like you got to kind of get into Vince McMahon's head, and it's like sometimes he wants, you know, these brands split and these champions protected, and then other times it's like, you know, whatever. So that we'll sacrifice whoever we have to get the match where we need it to go. Frank, you know, they dropped the, you know, the title or the champion against champion. They never really said winner take all tonight, and they didn't make anything official, but Brock Lesnar, you know, put that out there. You know, I mean, talk two things. One, you know, your thoughts on that tease of a champion versus champion match at some point, and whether or not you believe both those guys can stay champion. And then also, you know, touch on Ryan's point of like, hey, is it a viable storyline to have Roman kind of roll through the other champions just to kind of, you know, showcase his dominance in WWE ahead of the match with Brock?
I'll take the second one first. Not to crap on your party, Ryan, but I'm against that idea. It's bad enough that we have to do this champion versus champion nonsense at Survivor Series where WWE has to clearly define who the more important champion is between the two brands. So I don't want to see it then. And I don't need to see Roman going through these guys, you know, further reminding us that, you know, they're inferior champions. I mean, it's kind of saying the quiet thing out loud. And I know Roman is definitely rungs above Damian Priest and Shinsuke Nakamura and Rex Steiner. No, I'm not calling him Bron Breakker. Now I'll call him Bron Breakker. I'll be nice. I think the kid's got a future, but that's a different topic. I'm not doing that. As far as the unification, I don't think that's what they're doing. I'll certainly reserve a part of my brain for the possibility that it could happen. Believe it or not, and maybe I'm sidebarring unnecessarily here, but I could actually see it for the women. The idea of Charlotte entering herself in the Royal Rumble, you know, maybe perhaps if I'm getting in Vince McMahon's head, which I try to avoid as much as possible, her winning and challenging Becky Lynch. I know we just saw the match, but, you know, the two of them could actually work Mania to unify the title if they were unifying champions. I don't see that happening. I don't have any evidence of that happening, but I definitely leaned more towards the women doing that tonight than I did the men. Certainly need to see more television to have a clearer opinion on that.
Yeah, I agree with you on that part of it. I think just from you know, look, you have two nights of WrestleMania, and you know, not that Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar in a title versus title match or a unification match, whatever you want to call it, that's not big, but if you have both your men's champions in one match, like, you know, you kind of take away from the two night affair where you kind of need two championship matches on the men's side and on the women's side to anchor both those nights, to make both nights seem, you know, WrestleMania worthy. So I think for that reason alone, it's a good tease. And I think it's worth it to put it out there just so, you know, you don't have your audience thinking like, well, all right, Lesnar's got to lose the WWE championship at some point or Reigns does at some point. At least it kind of keeps it fresh in some, your fans' heads of like, all right, well, hey, if both guys can make it through, then they can do this champion versus champion thing. So I think it's a good tease. And then to Ryan, to your idea, you talk about the where Roman Reigns is as champion right now and kind of with nobody to work with on the babyface side of things. And it's like, I think for that reason alone, you know, not that that's going to matter right now for Roman, but you have to have some guys in the mid card that can come up and kind of take that next step in certain situations. And I don't think you want to establish, you know, just that, all right, Damian Priest is someone that Roman Reigns could just run through. I don't know if Damian Priest is going to be like a top guy, but like, no, he's the United States champion. He's been protected. And so I just don't think you want to just, you know, just crush him right out of the gate because you might need him. You know, you might need somebody like a heel Bobby Lashley to work with for the championship down the road. And I think, you know, one thing that's hurting SmackDown right now is that they don't have those guys in the hopper ready to come up when there's injury situations and people leaving the company like Jeff Hardy. And it kind of leaves this gaping hole that's hard to fill on the fly, which is why Seth Rollins is being brought over. So I think you want to stay away from that, even if it might be, you know, interesting to watch happen. Ryan, back to you. If any comments on what we said and any other questions for us tonight?
I want to make a point on what you said about WrestleMania. I think how you get away with having just that one match is what you do is you have the winner of the Royal Rumble face the winner of that match on night two, which would make history with WrestleMania because, you know, they never had the title defended two different nights.
Yeah, that could be cool. Frank, what do you think?
Well, here's the thing. So you have Lesnar versus Roman. Who's winning that match? Who's winning the Rumble? And who's coming out of night two? It kind of dampens the winner of the Royal Rumble. I mean, they already, you know, listen, you got to have the Royal Rumble winner win some years. You got to have him lose some years. The Royal Rumble winner lost last year. So, you know, I don't know that you want to do that 2 years in a row. I don't know that anybody cares about that, but I thought about it. So I brought it up. Sue me. who's the guy? Like, are you going to have Big E win the Rumble? Let's say Lesnar, Reigns. You're going to have Lesnar win that match and then Big E beat Lesnar. I mean, is Lesnar holding the title for one day? No, he's actually the WWE champion. Never mind. Silly thing I said. You could do that, you know, if you really want to crown Big E, I mean, that would, you know, that'd be a crowning moment for him. So,
oh yeah,
I'd be behind that. That's really, I'm just trying to think of other challengers in my head. You're not bringing Bron Breakker up. That would be the only guy that would make sense, you know, is to have mm-hmm. Big E beat, you know, the winner of Reigns Lesnar. But outside of that, I don't see anybody else suited for that role.
Yeah, I think it very much depends on who's going to get that rub, you know. I think that's the key. Ryan, back to you.
Final questions on this Impact relationship. Do you see a Moose anyway coming in? Because they bringing in the women's champion. Could they bring in the men's champion as well?
I'm glad that came up. You know, they broke a lot of news tonight, Frank, mm-hmm. with the women's Royal Rumble participants. Some obviously the current crop of talent on the roster, and some returning legends like the Bellas and Kelly, Michelle McCool, and Mickey James was another name that was announced, which is fascinating because she is the Impact Knockouts champion, and Pat McAfee actually said that out loud on the show tonight. Actually called her that and recognized that title that she won, and she's going to defend it tomorrow night. So. I thought that was a very interesting turn of events, but Ryan, to your point, I don't know that it signals, you know, that, I mean, it signals that there's a door there that can certainly be opened. But I just don't know how, you know, somebody like Moose would fit. I mean, I guess like he could be in the men's Royal Rumble, but the thing that Mickey James has that he doesn't have, and a lot of people on that roster don't have, is she's got a direct tie to WWE. She spent a huge chunk of her career with this company and has that history to play off of. So I think it's a cool little thing, and I think it should make for a pretty interesting moment at the Royal Rumble. But Frank, I don't read into it too much more than that, and don't expect much else either.
I agree with you. I think this is just basically a one-off. WWE did tweet out that the Impact champion, you know, Mickey James, would be coming to participate in the Royal Rumble. They didn't do the at. They didn't put their Twitter handle, not Twiddle. That might be a thing now. Their Twitter handle as... columnist Greg Parks very astutely pointed out, shout out to our friend Greg. So that was interesting that they didn't do that. Might not be anything, but anyway, just something to note. But yeah, no, I only see this kind of as a one-off here. Quick question. I don't watch Impact. Is Moose a babyface? I know the last time he was a heel, the last time I was watching, has he turned back, or what's his story? Because that'd be a fun challenger for Roman. You really want to shock people.
Yeah, it would be. Yeah, no, he's still a heel.
He's still a heel. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been out of Impact for a while, but I'm going to say it. That'd be an interesting opponent. But no, I don't see any kind of relationship developing. I mean, I know they've always had a good relationship, but yeah, you know, WWE's not gaining anything about having any kind of deal with Impact Wrestling. So yeah.
Right. Ryan, back to you. Anything else? Any final comments for us tonight?
My final comment is, you said history could always bring in a man that has history with the company, like a Zack Ryder, a Big Cass, because Impact has plenty of those wrestlers like Heath Slater that have a long history with WWE to make a surprise appearance in the Rumble.
Yeah, I mean, could you? I mean, you could, absolutely. I mean, my guess is if the door is going to swing both ways, like I think it was a handful of years ago when Ric Flair was with that company and he came in to WWE to do like I think he was inducted into the Hall of Fame with the Four Horsemen. And they traded back Christian, you know, made an appearance for TNA with that kind of talent trade. So I kind of think like, you know, it'd be the other way around where it's like you'd have to find somebody, you know, in WWE to go back to Impact to kind of like, you know, seal up that trade. Or it could just be absolutely nothing and it's just Mickie James coming in for a payday, a cool moment, and you know, Impact kind of green lit it. So I think that's more probably what it is, Ron. I don't think anybody in Impact really does anything coming into WWE as an Impact star. If Big Cass is going to come back to WWE, okay, that's something, that's a story. But a one-off Royal Rumble appearance, yeah, I don't think that's in the cards.
Hey, WWE tweeted, send Veer. Maybe they're sending Veer to Impact.
Yes, right. It could be. That's where he's been on his way to for so long.
Exactly.
Ryan, thanks very much, man. Always a blast talking to you. Appreciate the call.
Okay, thanks for taking the call.
Yep, thanks for making it. All right, we'll continue on here. 615, thanks for holding. This is Sean in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Sean, always a blast to chat with you, man. Welcome into the show.
Man, Zach, it's always good to talk to you. Frank, I missed you, man. I love you, man. How are you, sir?
I love you too, brother. Hope you're doing well, and appreciate the kind words today on social media about the Fall Brawl show. I'm glad you enjoyed it. That was a lot of fun to do, and, you know, appreciate you reaching out about that.
Yeah, I actually just watched the Royal Rumble 92 again, so I'm going to listen to you and Kelly Wells, another PW Torch analyst, talk about that. So I'm looking forward to that too. And Zach, I actually want to say real quick, I listened to your last On the Canvas show. You do a great job with that, man. It was really good. I really enjoyed the awards there. So had to give you some love.
I appreciate
it, man.
Thank you very much. And, for checking us out and for going VIP, pwtorch.com/goVIP. If anyone's out there, is interested, Sean, what'd you think of SmackDown tonight, man?
It was a mixed bag. I wanted to go back to what you were talking about, you know, as far as Seth being the challenger. I had a lot of mixed feelings in my head. I thought it was just weird that Adam Pearce has to find a challenger. That's always – I never got that. It just makes it kind of, you know, like you got to find the challenger. But then, you know, they bring Seth in and they, you know, it's like, what? And then – but Roman was great. Get out of here. I don't care. And then Seth comes in. It's like, okay, I give WWE a pass in the one perspective of, like you said, Frank, they don't have anybody really to go against Roman at this point, and that's probably the best option to have with the storyline you can weave in. So I'm thinking, okay, that's fine. But the heel-heel still, I just never got – I don't like heel-heel matchups. Yet you just – who are you going to root for? I don't like either one of them right now. So, but I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to see where they go with it. I kind of like it right now. I mean, is there anything else you guys wanted to say? But that's kind of my thought is I'm willing to give them the benefit of the doubt, but it's their fault because on SmackDown they made it so bare, and then unfortunately with Drew's injury, and I hope he gets better quick, but, you know, they really didn't have many other options.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Like, I think I want them to be careful with this just because – you know, you have Roman Reigns in such a good place. You have Brock Lesnar in such a good place, and that's the money match. And so I just, like, I'm tentative in terms of just my initial reaction just because I don't want that diluted anyway because you've been, you know, nursing it for so long, and the payoff is coming. But you can't argue with the fact that not only were they throwing a couple curveballs, but they were light on challengers to begin with. And mm-hmm. both key challengers that they had are now not available. So you got to make the best of a rough situation. So to me, you know, sitting here analyzing it 30 minutes after we heard the news, like, I think if you can just thread the needle and tell a logical story as to why Adam Pearce would pick Seth Rollins, or again, why Seth was just wandering around backstage at SmackDown when he's a Raw guy. Like, if you could tie up those loose ends, I'm willing to go with it. We'll see. It remains to be seen. But I, the main thing for me, Frank, is that I just want him to be careful, because they've got something good cooking with Brock and Roman. And, you know, you don't want to mess that up just trying to, you know, finagle in a quick match with Seth and Reigns right now.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was thinking as you guys were talking, I mean, do you have to have two championship matches at the Rumble? I mean, you don't have to defend the titles every time. I mean, you could give the guy a night off, but they're just not going to do that. Like, it's not their formula. So that's out. You know, as far as Seth being backstage and Pierce being able to pick the opponent, at this stage of my watching WWE after 35 years, I'm so immune to it. Like, it doesn't even faze me anymore. Those things are silly, though. Like, how did Seth Rollins know he was going to be the challenger? And you know what I mean? So it's just like, you know, you just roll your eyes at something like that. I'm at that point in my life, like, they knew this already, and they just, you know, this is how they told the story. This is what they do. So whatever. You know, and even it contradicts what Sonya Deville said on Monday night when she was talking to, I think it was Doudrop, where, you know, championships aren't just handed out. You have to earn them. Okay, well, what did Seth Rollins do to earn a championship? Mm-hmm. He actually lost on Monday night. So, you know, they're very contradictory. But I've just gotten to that point where it's just, you know, this is what they do. So I just kind of look at it. My concern is, like, you know, Roman doesn't get hurt in the match, you know, to your point, Zach, about preserving what they have with Reigns and Lesnar. I mean, that is the money match, and, you know, have it at WrestleMania, don't have it in the Saudi show. Okay. That's your big match. You know, don't do anything silly. That would be my issue with it. You know, if Roman ends up getting hurt, it wouldn't be worth it. So, you know, there is that risk.
And I don't mean just hurt either. I mean, like, you know, gosh, like, you just don't want to, like, put him in a situation where, you know, you've cultivated this reaction to him for the last year plus, and now you risk diluting that by putting him in there against another heel. So that's more what I mean when I say they gotta be careful. But, you know, we'll see. I think it's a lot of it to me is rooted in, okay, can you make a logical explanation of why Seth's getting this opportunity? And
sure.
I think we'll get that. I mean, I think we'll get something, you know, next week. Sean, back to you, man.
Yeah, and Frank, I wanted to say, I mean, like, don't feel bad. Like, they deserve criticism for that. Like, I mean, I know we yell about it all the time, or we get, you know, frustrated about it. But at the same time, maybe if we – well, I should say maybe if we yell about it, they'll fix it, because they haven't fixed it in 35 years, like you said. But, I mean, it deserves being criticized. Like, we shouldn't feel bad to say that they do a stupid job at doing this crap, because it's just stupid. It's not logical. Yeah. But then the two main things I had – and, again, the mid-card is bad in WWE right now, and it's really a shame. So, like, with Rick Boogs against Sami Zayn. So, Sami Zayn wins a – dumb gauntlet match, which the match was good itself, but, like, the gauntlet, it's kind of getting a little overused in certain ways. But he wins that facing Rick Boogs, who is, like, I think Nick from Bradboro said many times, and I'm agreeing with, he's annoying as hell right now. It's just, like, stop with the crap. It's just, it's getting old. And then he shows a couple power moves and beats Sami Zayn in a stupid way. How is this building Sami Zayn to win if he does win the Intercontinental title? Again, we don't even care about the Intercontinental title. It doesn't mean anything. Zayn loses repeatedly, I've told you, Zach, over and over and over and over and over. He's a good heel character. I like his heel persona. And then Johnny Knoxville to get in his stupid shtick to be in the Royal Rumble. Who cares? Like, how does this help anyone involved? Please explain this to me.
Well, you know, Sean, you come to – well, I don't know about Frank. I don't want to speak for Frank, but I will not be able to explain that to you tonight because I was equally as just kind of just rolling my eyes at it all. I mean, and look, you can figure out what they're doing, like the Johnny Knoxville thing, the Jackass thing. I'm sure they're getting, you know, a pretty penny for having him on and promoting the movie. I mean, I think that's clearly what's happening here. You've seen WWE do that throughout the year with like the zombie stuff and the stuff with the pizza. You know, they've been integrating different sponsors and different partners into their actual, you know, their actual content. So I think that's what's happening on that front. And I don't know, to me that it just is what it is. Like you just, they are going to do those kinds of things. And it, to me, as long as it's not in your main event programs, I guess you want to go with it. But to your point, Sean, man, you know, Sami Zayn does have a character that I think people want to engage with, whether that's boo, whether that's cheer. I think you can paint him in either direction, and he is good enough to kind of cultivate the reaction that you want. And instead, he's just regularly used to kind of like as just a joke out there. And it doesn't help him. It doesn't help his opponents, because tonight I don't think, you know, Rick Boogs didn't gain anything by beating Sami Zayn. Like he's still exactly where he was before. You know, Zayn doesn't lose much by losing, but it's more of an opportunity cost of like, hey, you have someone here. If you just framed him even just a little bit better, he'd be a lot more valuable to the show, a lot more valuable to his opponents, and a lot more valuable to the Intercontinental Championship in terms of its elevation and its meaning. Because man, that has fallen off a cliff, you know, since really, it's tough to say, but since before Nakamura got that title, but definitely while it's been around his waist, it's really just lacked all meaning. So that they have a really tall mountain to climb to get that thing back on track. And Frank, it doesn't appear that it's a priority of any kind at this point, even though I think if you're Vince McMahon, you're looking back on it and going, man, I wish, you know, we had someone that's just a little bit hotter to plug in. Maybe that could have been Nakamura, you know, if he was just treated a little bit better, but they don't. And I just don't see it as a priority right now. And it hasn't been for months.
Well, I'll respond to that, and I'll respond to a few things that Sean pointed out before we started talking about Sami Zayn. So, yeah, I'm on board with you guys. This segment did absolutely nothing to make me want to see Sami Zayn be a challenger. If I'm watching this in a vacuum and you told me that he's the number one contender for this championship, right, and I wasn't, you know, much of a wrestling fan, I would laugh at you. Mm-hmm. I'd be like, mm-hmm. what are you talking about? He just lost to this guy. This guy's a chump. You know, I mean, so, yeah, and this is the thing that they have done repeatedly over and over and over again, okay? And, you know, when you talked earlier, Sean, about not criticizing them, you know, don't think that I'm being easy on WWE. I'm not. I'm actually very hard on WWE. Zach knows for a fact that I actually stopped watching them for several weeks because I could not take the BS anymore. It was just getting absolutely sickening, okay? And, you know, they did this Monday, right? The Alpha Academy beat RK-Bro in the non-title match, okay? And how many – not that this was a non-title match tonight with Rick Boogs, but, you know, how many contenders have we seen beat the champion, or how many ways have we seen lead-ups to championships – not actually get me to want to see these championship matches? It's literally every time, okay? I mean, just look at the last 20 years of WWE programming. It's absolutely absurd, okay? And guess what they're going to do? When they finally have this match, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. Sami Zayn is going to win this Intercontinental Championship. That's what's going to happen, mm-hmm. all right? And Vince will just move forward and, you know, he'll do his thing and, you know, okay, the conspiracy's not against me anymore. I'm the champ, you know, and he'll move forward. And then he'll start losing to baby faces, you know. He'll lose to Rick Boogs. He'll lose to Nakamura. He'll have another title defense. And guess what? He'll win. And that's just the cycle of WWE, okay?
Don't put these things out into the universe, Frank, okay?
Oh, you know, please.
It's all your fault.
Yeah, please. Like, they haven't thought of this BS already. I mean, it's just, you know, it's just what they do, you know. And the same thing, even going back to the, you know, going back to the Seth Rollins thing. Don't think I'm not critical of that, all right, because it's stupid. It's absolutely stupid. Why would Seth Rollins be in the building, okay, without knowing that he was going to get the championship match, okay? You think your audience is stupid, okay? Three of us here just picked up on it, and I'm sure others are picking up on it too, but it's just they don't care, and it's like a waste of my breath criticizing it because it's never going to change. We could put it out there as much as we can, and it's not going to change, all right? And another thing, you touched on, you know, having no challengers. You wouldn't be in this situation with Seth Rollins if you actually bothered to build people up, okay? Why have Rick Boogs beat Sami Zayn? Have him beat somebody else. Have Sami Zayn beat somebody else, you know? Build these guys up. Have Nakamura. I don't know what's going on with Nakamura. I don't know if he's hurt, you know, and he's just – I don't know what the deal is with him. But, you know, this is what happens when you fire, what, 100 wrestlers in the last 2 years? I mean, you have absolutely no mid-card. You have nobody built up. This is why tonight we saw the New Day versus the Usos for the umpteenth time, because there's nobody else. Yeah, and this is just the situation. And it's like, I don't even know where I'm going with all this, because it's just something that's never going to change. It's they run these thin rosters, and then you get into these situations where you have a Drew McIntyre out. You release Jeff Hardy. Okay, who's Roman Reigns' challenger? I don't know. Well, you know, if you bother, you know, and Sheamus is somebody that could have been that challenger. That's what we all thought when they moved him over to SmackDown. Okay, they'll turn him babyface, and maybe he could be the guy. What do? They have him lose to Drew. So that's that.
I think the reason why, you know, it's a prominent point of discussion tonight is just because you saw a lot of the kind of the results of that type of booking play itself out tonight in terms of them having nowhere to go. And I think that's kind of, to me, that's why it's a prominent topic. But Sean, back to you. You said you had a final point for us.
Yeah, Frank, very well said, man. I appreciate everything you just brought up. Going back, I wanted to bring up one more thing about the women's segment with Charlotte. Oh, gosh. Okay, so they do the women's Royal Rumble participants. I wish they wouldn't do that. Surprise me. Like, I don't want to know all the people that are in it. Like, I want to, like, suspend my disbelief and be like, oh, I wonder who's going to be in it. Like, yeah, I know you're bringing back Lita, but don't tell me she's going to be in it. It takes the fun out for me. Like, they'll still pop for her, but, you know, and I will. But anyway, so they did that. Charlotte, a bland promo until Naomi comes out. At first, I'm thinking, why is Naomi coming out? Whole thing with her and Sonya, what's up with that? Why is Naomi slapping Charlotte in the face for, like, almost no reason? The fans are behind Naomi, but not that much. They have a very weak match, in my opinion, with a horrible, again, stop doing the moonsault, Charlotte. God bless America. Stop doing it. So they do that. Then Sonya comes out, and she's like, Naomi is happy to win by a count out, which why would you be happy by winning by a count out? Sonya's like, oh, well, you can't have a count out. Okay, whatever. Where's this storyline going with Naomi and Sonya? I don't know. Oh, it just drives me crazy. And the Charlotte-Naomi match was just not very good. Naomi, I don't buy her as a threat to Charlotte. In my personal opinion, I like Naomi, but I don't buy her as a challenger. I didn't like the segment at all. I hate to be negative, but I didn't like it. What did you guys think about that whole segment? And I'll leave it there. I want other callers to get on. Nick, I know you're probably out there, man. I appreciate it. Frank, always good to talk to you, man. You're the bomb. Zach, you're the man. Love you guys. Appreciate you taking my call, as always.
Thanks for making it, Sean. Always a blast talking to you, man. Appreciate it. Yeah, so Frank, what'd you think of that the strategy to reveal everybody? I totally understand where Sean's coming from on that in terms of, hey, I want to be surprised. As part of the fun of the Royal Rumble is not knowing everybody. I totally get that. Me personally, it doesn't bother me all that much, just because I think it's you know, good to have something to look forward to if you're a big Lita fan or something like that. So that part of it doesn't bother me so much. But take that first, and then we'll get into the Charlotte and Naomi stuff.
So if I'm looking at this objectively, I'm assuming that a lot of it was centered around announcing Mickey James. You know, I don't know that they had to announce everybody else. I thought that maybe they could have done that, you know, as a standalone thing. And not for nothing, I don't think they announced on the show leading in, because I'm not writing SmackDown previews anymore. I'm on the AEW side. I don't know that they announced, you know, the participants will be announced later tonight. I mean, that could have been something that they announced ahead of time, you know, if they were going to do that.
True.
You know, if you're going to do that, at least get people, I mean, just to kind of throw it out there randomly, you know, just kind of dumbs it down a little bit. So, anyway, back to what I was saying, you know, I'm assuming that was the point of that. As a fan, yeah, I'm kind of with Sean. I mean, I do like one of the charms of the Royal Rumble is, you know, knowing a certain amount of people that are going to be in it. And, you know, look, you know who's going to be. You know who's going to be in the Rumble. It's basically any able-bodied person on this, you know, very thin woman's roster. And the returning legends are a nice surprise. You know, like last year, what did we get? Like Victoria, we got, you know, I can't remember all the other.
She was the big one, yeah.
Yeah. Because it had been a while since we've seen her. So, it's always nice to kind of have that pop. So I guess this year we'll just settle for when they come in, you know,
yeah.
It'll be,
and I think, yeah, I mean, ultimately I think you're right. It is fun to have that, but I think also too, you know, because the roster is so darn thin and you know, you kind of know who the legends are that they're going to bring in. Like if you really kind of think about it, you kind of, so I don't know that there's just too much of a surprise there. So I won't get on them too much. Although, you know, come the Royal Rumble.
I think they're aware that they know the cupboard is bare, so I think they want to kind of get people fired up to watch this. So announcing some of those names ahead of time might get people to say, ooh, you know what, I will watch the Royal Rumble. I was a fan of the Bellas back in the day, or I was a fan of Michelle McCool, or, you know, name your – Summer Rae was actually a surprise. I didn't expect her to
– Oh, yeah, I forgot about her. Yep.
Yeah. I don't know what you thought of her back in the day, but yeah, she was a little she was interesting. That's just kind of my other thoughts on it.
So Naomi and Charlotte, to me this just felt like more, it's unfortunate in some ways because it was just more nonsense really between Naomi and Sonya Deville. Like that was kind of like the match really was a backdrop for that story. And you know, I don't know. You just don't want to be using Charlotte for that kind of thing. And on top of it, it wasn't a great match. I've done this SmackDown show probably 4 or 5 times since this Naomi thing started up with Sonya. And it's like, there's still no reason for it. And you have Michael Cole on the show just outwardly just saying, yeah, we're not really sure why, you know, these two are at each other's throats the way that they are, but they are. And it's like, put some definition behind that. It will have more meaning. Like, I mean, it's one of the longer term stories at this point that SmackDown has, and there's no root foundation for it. It's like, just give it one. And people will become more invested in it if you can give them that. As far as the match goes, that again, it wasn't very good. It was what it was, but it was a backdrop to that story. I think to answer Sean's question specifically, like I assume at some point it's going to be a match. I mean, I can see it happening at WrestleMania. I just don't know if they could get it there. WrestleMania is a long way away.
Zach, let me ask you an honest question. All right, the payoff to this is Naomi against Sonya Deville. How excited are you about that? Sonya Deville was a jobber for a long time. She was defined as a loser. This woman we saw wrestle 2-3-minute matches and lose. Why on God's green earth would I be excited about a Naomi-Sonya Deville match? I'm just not. I'm sorry. I'm not there, you know? I mean, granted, it's getting Naomi TV time, you know, whereas if this story wasn't happening, she'd probably just be out there doing jobs and no one will think anything. You know what I mean? I mean, that's pretty much what she was for a long time. I mean, she would get the occasional title match, okay? But, you know, for the most part, she's been a jobber. So this is getting her a little more into the spotlight. But a Naomi Sonya Deville match, like, who cares? I'm sorry, not to be, you know, not to be a Debbie Downer, but I don't see the interest in that. I mean, turn me around, Zach. Am I off?
No, that's what I mean. I'm with you. You gotta. There's no. How could you be? I mean, even if like Sonya is a jobber, even if you have no feeling towards her whatsoever,
and
I
wanted Sonya to be successful. I did. I liked her look. She was unique. She kind of like a UFC fighter. I wanted her to be successful, but they never got around to it. So why would
that
now? I'm sorry.
Well, she had a decent little run there right before the pandemic, you know, with Mandy Rose. She was kind of that dark character. She cut some good promos. I thought she started to find it there a little bit.
Mm.
But ultimately,
that's
though,
true.
Your point stands in terms of, like, you got to give people a reason to care. And that means at least tell some kind of story here. Like, that, to me, that's the missing link. This isn't a anywhere near the top of the card. This is a low card, you know, low card program, but you still need to give it something. And they just haven't done that. They have not taken the time to do that. And so, and I think, you know, really anything that touches that feud at this point, you're just kind of like, okay, like, you really going to put Charlotte in the middle of this? Like, I wouldn't do that. It's just, it's not that type of thing. Let's keep going with calls here, Frank, because we've got a handful of other people to get to, and I want to make sure to at least get to everybody on hold. So, callers, if you can make it quick to one or two points, that'd be appreciated, just because we do have a line of callers here. So, but we'll go to Nick next, Nick in Brattleboro. Nick, great to talk to you, man. It's been a while. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Frank,
yes.
What are our Giants going to do?
Oh, my God. My friends and I, not to go into a whole thing, my buddies and I, we're in a text chat. It's called Angry Giant Fans, if that tells you anything.
No, I got to get in on that.
let me tell you, well, message me your number or give it to Zach and he'll give it to me and I'll be happy to get you in on that.
Okay, definitely.
I told my buddies, tell Dave Gettleman to take his hog mollies, okay, his Daniel Jones and his Saquon Barkley, and go to Boston with his Boston accent. Get the hell out of here, okay? This guy has sold us a freaking bill of goods for 4 years. I'm tired of him coming on the radio and pontificating, and he's God's gift to football. Get the hell out of here. This team sucks.
Frank, can I have whatever you're drinking? You are hot tonight, let me tell you.
I'm actually – I don't have – well – as you may or may not know, Nick, I am in I contracted the 19, so I am in protocol as we speak.
Oh God!
So,
okay, well, get does be care. I've been so bloody careful because I have diabetes, and so fingers crossed.
Yeah.
You know, the
and
back stuff.
And I get the damn booster on Wednesday too.
I'm going to say this, and then I'll get off with the Giants. Is they should go after that Ravens backup quarterback.
That guy's good.
And I'll leave it there. Anyway.
I have to look into that. I've been a little out of football the last couple of weeks, but I'll have to investigate that. Good topic to look into.
Fantasy book, real quick. I'd love to see Naomi put on a suit, go up to Sonya Deville, take off the suit jacket. She's got a Bloodline shirt on, and she says, "This is what the head of the table wants."
I
think, you know, give her some edge. I mean, she's so blah, and it might give this, whatever's going on between them, some edge, that Sonya is so full of herself for being, you know, a official, but she can't hold a candle to Roman. You know, I mean, what Roman wants, Roman gets, you know. I mean, so that's just a fantasy book. The other thing is I'm watching way too much YouTube, so I'm getting conspiracy'd out. I almost don't think Roman had the 19, that they did this so that they didn't have to do Roman Lesnar at the Royal Rumble, that they could get, because they're not doing Elimination Chamber in the U.S., you know, because they're doing that Saudi crap in February. All they, well, I don't watch. I haven't watched since the first one. I refuse. But
me neither.
As a Jew from New York, man, I ain't no way I'm giving that. Anyway,
I feel you.
It seemed to me it's like he tests positive on Saturday, and they announce on Monday that he's going to be there on Friday, which is borderline. I mean, you're in the protocol. It's borderline protocol.
Yeah.
Especially they're going into the Northeast, into Connecticut for this thing,
right,
where I know my broker's in Connecticut, and he's E.F. Hutton, and E.F. Hutton says no. And
when E.F. Hutton speaks, people listen.
Yeah, right. No, but I mean, Connecticut is not, oh, loosey-goosey, you know, come, you know, it's, you had COVID 5 days ago, you better take it, you know, the conspiracy part of me just says they took the hit for him not being there day one so that they could have Lesnar lose to Lashley at Royal Rumble, which frees him up. Either he can then enter the Rumble and win and go after Roman at WrestleMania, or get the match at WrestleMania anyway. Say Big E wins the Rumble and goes after Lashley. But, I mean, to me, that's the only way I think they can get Lesnar to Reigns is to have him lose to Lashley at Royal Rumble.
Win the Rumble.
Because even though I would love to see it, I don't think they're going to do a unification, unless Vince is looking at this slimmed-down roster of his and says, I can't do a brand split anymore.
I mean, the conspiracy thing, you know, there's been some pretty decent reporting on that this week. Hey, look, here's the bottom line. WWE deserves, you know, they've done some things, you know, in their history, and so they deserve, you know, kind of a second look. But there has been some good decent reporting done on it, and I think it's safe to assume that he did have it. But either way, you know, everything is really up in the air right now as far as where they go. Wade reported earlier in the week that the information that he got from WWE and his sources was that, you know, all the final painting of WrestleMania is going to be the same. Just the brushstrokes that they're going to take to get there now are going to be a little bit different.
Right.
So,
yep, I
know,
heard that.
It remains,
yeah, I heard that report.
Yeah.
No, I heard that report, yeah.
Yeah, so it remains to be seen. But I think, you know, Roman, I thought, had a good night tonight. I thought he, you know, I think the real thing that stands out to me, guys, talking about Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar is, you know, you have Roman Reigns in a place now where they look like equals in there. I think in their previous matches, like WrestleMania 31 and whatever it was, 34, and I think it was a SummerSlam match they did, like,
yep,
it always felt that, like, Reigns was still trying to get up to Lesnar's level, and they're using Brock Lesnar to help launch him there. And it never really, it just didn't really click. He had the matches, he had the title wins and whatever, but it didn't really fully get him there. Now, when you see those two in the middle of the ring, Frank, like, they look like equals, and it makes for a pretty cool moment.
I agree. And you know what? It doesn't make me go back and say, oh my God, they've been doing this for years. Like, I can compartmentalize and look at that time period and look at it on its own, and I can look at this and say, yeah, no, these two guys, you know, they're equals, they're on the same level. I totally agree. That's a perfect way of looking at it. I don't want to add anything, because it's perfectly said.
Yeah, no, I totally agree.
Thanks, Frank.
No, no, I totally agree also, because it's also, it's almost now, it's like I look at Roman now and I say, okay, if they are planning the Rock Roman in L.A. next year, Roman lives up to that moment. I think this run he's had, I don't think he would have. It just would have been, but I think now he can, and they can maximize that. Real quick, and then I'll get off and let you move on. First of all, shout out to my buddy Sean. He's an honorary Nikki, and, you know, he's the best. So real quick, I'm a little worried that Xia Li is getting the Toni Storm treatment, and she'll get two matches and two pies from Charlotte, and then she'll get cut, because she was on 3 weeks ago, and we haven't seen or heard from her since.
Yep.
She didn't even get announced for the Royal Rumble.
Yep.
I mean, you know, I thought she looked pretty good. And, you know, I don't know. My last point, I agree with Sean on the Charlotte mess. They got to bring up, what's her name, from the high flyer from NXT.
Io Shirai.
Yeah, Io Shirai. They got to bring her up. They've got to build up that women's division right now, because it's bad. And last point. We had the Miracle on 34th Street Suicide Street match. We had the day one match. We had this street match today. And I got to tell you, four women in AEW had a street fight that puts these guys to shame. I mean, it might not be your style, but these women left it all on the mat, so to speak. And on WWE, oh, let's put one guy to a table and we'll call it a street fight. And I'll leave you guys there. Have a good night and a great happy new year. And Frank, get better soon, and I'll send Zach my info, and yeah, put me in with the Giants, baby.
Sounds good, brother. I look forward to that, Nick. Have a good night. Appreciate it.
You too.
Thanks for the call, Nick. Yeah, I don't want to really gloat too much here, guys, but you know, Bears did take care of business the other week. The Bears, Giants lost to the Bears. This is shameful, Frank. Shameful.
Yeah. You're well. You know, it's so funny. I was talking to Ryan that day, and I'm just like, I'm not even watching. You know, that was the day I was in Los Angeles, and I couldn't even get the feed. And I was talking to him, and I'm like, I don't even care. Like, bro, like, congratulations. Like, you know, it's just, it's
the thing is, it's like, no Bears fan should care either about, you know, because they're going nowhere either. So,
yeah.
Same thing. All right, let's keep it rolling here. We got some other people to get to. 609, thank you for holding 609. State your name and where you're calling from tonight.
What's up, guys? It's Mike from Atlantic City, New Jersey.
Hey, Mike. Good to hear from you, man. Happy New Year. What'd you think of SmackDown?
Happy New Year. I thought it was a decent show. I mean, mainly, like I always say, like the beginning of the show and the end of the show is usually what really draws me in. That's how SmackDown has been lately. It just opens up, you know, fresh and hot, and then usually ends fresh and hot. But then the middle, like, the other caller was saying, the middle is just, you know, lacking. Like, there's really nothing entertaining in the middle of these shows. And Raw was like that for a while, up until, I think, the draft. And Raw, you know, it's been more entertaining lately, I think, since the draft. And it's an entertaining show. But, like, SmackDown, I think, now is the one that suffers in the middle. Like, there's just too much filler, like the Happy Corbin segments. You know, I really didn't care for Naomi versus Charlotte too much. And I'm usually a big fan of the women in WWE, like, you know, the Charlotte, Sasha, Becky, and all them. But, you know, I don't really feel Naomi like that. Like the other caller was saying, I don't view her as a threat. You know, I think they ruined Naomi. So,
yeah. She needs some definition. I think Naomi, look, I mean, I don't, she's not going to be the face of the women's division or anything like that. But I think if you give her something, you know, some kind of constitution or some kind of story. I think she can be a suitable mid-card act in the women's division. And as you said, they need that. And so, but you just have to take the time to do it. Right now, they just haven't. I mean, that's my take. I mean, Frank, we've kind of brought this point up already. But any other thoughts on that?
You know what's funny with Naomi? I actually pitched to Wade the first post show I did 2 years ago, put a stable together with Roman, the Usos, and Naomi. Okay, and two callers actually liked that idea. And I think Wade liked it too. And I think if you did that, I think if you put her in the bloodline, I think it would, you know, define her a little bit more. I mean, she's been this babyface for what, you know, the last 6 years now. And I mean, she's had a couple of moments, but, you know, she's never going to get past a certain level. I think if you put her in the bloodline, you know, and she's got, you know, her family around, I think it would help. So, yeah, I'm all for it. Put her with the family, and I am in.
Mike, back to you.
Yeah, and like Nick was just saying with Zia Lee, like, what are they doing? I mean, she should be squashing jobbers every week. That's what she should be doing.
Yeah.
Now. That's the old school way too. Like, and she should be a heel, I think. You know, that's how she came across, you know, in NXT, you know, squashing jobbers. She came across as a dominant heel, and that's what she should be doing. And she hasn't even had a match yet, right, on the main roster?
No, I don't think she has.
I don't think
so
either.
That's crazy.
She hasn't.
The concern with Zia Lee, if I may jump in, is very warranted. Now,
sure.
You know, who knows with COVID, who's out, you know, WWE is not always forthcoming with that, even though they disclosed, you know, Roman's last week or, you know, whatever. You know, when Vince gets a new toy, he likes to play with it, and he likes to play with it a lot. And when a new act comes up and you don't see it on TV for weeks, it's definitely cause for concern. We'll see. You know, but yeah, the alarm bells are definitely warranted.
Yeah, Mike, anything else for us tonight, man?
Yeah, for the Women's Royal Rumble match, how many participants did they name? I think it was only 20, right? That's what I counted in the picture.
That's a good point, and I was going to try to do that while we were on the air here. But
there's
yeah,
a lot of names.
They
left
may
out.
Not have. Yeah, they may not have named all 30, and that would have that would shore up Frank, your and Sean's concern of like, hey, there's no surprises. I don't think they named 30 participants, and they didn't say that the match was going to be less than that. So you guys still may be able to hold out hope yet that there's some surprises.
Yes.
Good good looking out, Mike.
Yeah, I mean it's still the NXT
there,
people
or Sasha.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, sorry, Frank. No, I was just going to point out.
No, I mean,
there's
still probably the NXT
there.
People
don't
that
Sasha.
Are going to come up.
Right.
Go ahead, Mike. You go ahead.
Okay. I was going to say, yeah, we don't have Sasha in there. I'm sure she's going to be in it. Liv, because I think, honestly, either Sasha or Liv is going to win it. I could see Liv. I mean, I don't think they're going to do Liv and Becky again, but there's a story if Liv won the Rumble and then goes, you know, and lives her dream for WrestleMania. There's a story to be told there. I don't think we're going to do that, though. I don't think they'll have Liv win it. But I think it's going to be Sasha. And Sasha goes on, faces Charlotte for the belt at Mania. That's your money match right there. Sasha one-on-one with Charlotte. I can't see any other scenario for Mania, you know, with Charlotte.
Yeah.
I mean, besides Sasha, you know, I think that's the right match to go to. I think that's a definite money match. Sasha and Charlotte one-on-one for the title.
And Charlotte, I mean, look, she's got similar issues that Roman Reigns has, you know, in terms of, like, there's just no one for her to wrestle. And in this, you know, you had Drew McIntyre there for Roman Reigns, and now he's gone. And really, for Charlotte, you only have like Sasha Banks. I mean, that's all that there really is that's kind of worthy of a WrestleMania championship match. So Sasha hasn't won the Royal Rumble before, so she'd be, you know, a fresh winner. I mean, I think, you know, if they didn't announce all the participants, Bayley is going to be a hot name in terms of like her making a comeback. So I think that could be a possibility. I don't know how far along she is in her rehab and her injury, but you know, certainly that's her name's going to come up. But yeah, if she's not involved, I think Sasha is definitely going to be at the top of a lot of people's lists as people break down the Royal Rumble matches here in a couple weeks. Mike, thanks a bunch, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks a lot, guys. Have a great night.
Yeah, thanks for calling. Call again. All right, and we will wrap up the caller portion here with 443. 443, please state your name and where you are calling us from tonight.
Hey, it's Kyle from Baltimore. How you doing?
Hey, Kyle. Good, man. Happy New Year. It's been a while. What did you think of the show?
Yeah, dude. It was good. I'll go back to the Royal Rumble. It's not so fast. And it's just bad in general. And, look, for me personally, I still have an issue with SmackDown. It's not a good show. Because I keep saying this, they just care about Roman Reigns, and, you know, that's all well and good, but, you know, without any credible opponents, that they have to keep on having Brock Lesnar, and now Lesnar's a champion. I personally don't like the fact that Lesnar's champion. I'm not a fan of it. I think it's a waste of time. I think it's unnecessary, then whatever, but, and with Roman Reigns, it's not credible for him to stay on SmackDown either, so, you know, it's kind of their fault that they don't have any credible opponents on SmackDown at all. They have Raw, and then it's just they don't want to care about anyone, but if your name is Brock Lesnar or Roman Reigns, apparently, they don't, who cares, apparently, I guess. With the Royal Rumble itself, it's being like, I think I would hope that Sasha wins the Rumble and just take the title from Charlotte and move on, because Charlotte is champion, isn't working for me at all. They say it is for a while, but she has been a terrible champion since she was drafted to SmackDown because there isn't no one credible for her to face. Guess I can see to be said about Becky a little bit, but not really, because there is Bianca, there is Rhea Ripley. You know, that's like the two names I could think of top of my head who are credible plus for Becky, and then when it comes to Charlotte, it's just Sasha, and everyone else doesn't feel like a big enough name to take a title from Charlotte and Sasha. So maybe on Zaya Lee, but you think it's too early for her for that. But, and then it's like, I don't know. I don't like, SmackDown has a bad babyface issue. That's just the bottom line with Charlotte and with Roman Reigns. And I like Roman Reigns and all. I just find his reign really boring because it's just, they don't care about anyone else but Brock Lesnar. And it's just, Reigns could be a great champion all he wants to, but if he doesn't have any credible opponents, then I view it like, who cares? I don't want him to lose the title, but it's like, because now they're bringing out Seth Rollins over to Raw, like, well, it's your fault. You dropped Rollins to Raw. Don't drop him to Raw then. You dropped all their top names on Raw. That's the other issue.
Yeah.
So, again, Roman Reigns could be the best champion all he wants to. But if no credible opponents, then I view it as who cares. So what do you think about that? Those two situations.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's crazy that we spent a good chunk of time kind of breaking that situation down. And on the women's side, I think they kind of did that to themselves, Frank. On the men's side, it was weak coming out of the draft for sure. But I think they had penciled in Drew McIntyre and, because of how he was treated at Survivor Series, Jeff Hardy. You know, I think you had those two guys kind of lined up, I think, ready to go. And that, you know, that fizzled away because of injury and because of, you know, whatever situation is going on with Jeff right now. And so you're left with nothing on the men's side because of those two relatively unforeseen. So I'm not as hard on them, Frank, as for the men's side as I am on the women's side, just because you could never have seen those two things coming. Now, that doesn't mean you don't want to have people in the hopper lined up and ready to go that you can heat up a little bit to get them into a position where they can be a challenger to Reigns. But, you know, you can't see both of those things happening at the same exact time either. So I don't really have too much to say other than, you know, yeah, you have to be cultivating new stars. And, you know, luckily WWE still has the big match there in Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns. I thought tonight they had a good segment to kind of further hype that thing. But, yeah, Frank, I mean, you know, I don't necessarily want to beat a dead horse on it. But, yeah, they don't have the mid-card right now that they need.
Yeah, and I'll be a little harder on them with the men because they could have done a little more with Ricochet. They moved him over. They said this is a great opportunity for him, and what happened, you know, what we expected, basically defined down. You know, they weren't going to go back to Cesaro, so that's out. But, you know, I talked about it with Sheamus before. Sheamus could have been a credible opponent. You know, and even Shinsuke Nakamura, you know, they had Shinsuke do that gauntlet match last year, and they never made it off, you know, and he could have been an opponent. So, yeah, I'm going to be a little tougher on them because, you know, you could count on a couple of guys, but, you know, I don't know if anybody told the WWE, injuries do happen, you know, and SHIT happens. And, you know, they got caught with their pants down, so that's why they're in this situation, having to pull Seth Rollins. As far as Sasha winning the Rumble, I think that's a possibility. I think that's, you know, she hasn't done it yet. And a match with Charlotte would be big. It is two of their stars of the past, though. I mean, it's, you know, that match was big 6 years ago. So, you know, I'm going to say it. It's very concerning that they haven't built up people behind them. And all the people that they released over the past year are younger people, people that they could have developed, you know. So that's very concerning that that's your money match. But it's there. And if they do it, it'll be fine.
Well said. Kyle, anything else for us tonight, man?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know how people will be. I won't personally complain about that. That does happen because, you know, it's Sasha. I cannot boo that woman. But anyway, and so, yeah, and then when it comes to just Xia Li herself, for her not being, you know, they announce all these women that's going to be in the Rumble. They announce Rhea and Nikki, but they didn't say Xia Li, and they actually have Aaliyah there, but that's Xia Li, so that's really bizarre. You have, it's just, I don't get that. That part I just don't really get, you know. But anyway, I guess it doesn't matter if she's in the Rumble. She's in the Rumble, but I just find that so bizarre. You announce all these names who are currently there, and you know, have to have Xia or even Sasha. That's like you and if I'm not mistaken, I saw Charlotte's like graphic on Twitter or something like that, say that she's going to be in the Rumble match stuff. I hope that's not true. I hope I was just seeing things or what. I was like, don't have her in the Rumble match itself. I'd be like, that'll be like, that's so stupid. Or you had Brock Lesnar in the Rumble one year before. So
I'll stop you there, Kyle, because they did say that, yeah, Charlotte did proclaim, yeah, she's going to be in the Royal Rumble match and be the first champion to win it while being champion. And then if she's going to win, she's going to pick her WrestleMania opponent. So no, they openly said that and are using that, Frank, or this is how I read it. They're using that as an avenue to sell the Women's Royal Rumble, that Charlotte's going to be in it. And she's going to try to be the first champion to win that match. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. All right. That's kind of like the New Japan formula. The winner of the G1, if the champion wins the G1, he picks his opponent. So look at that.
Yep. Yep. Kyle, thanks. Any final words for us tonight, man?
I just think just moving forward, heading into this year, when it comes to SmackDown in particular, they just need, I said this last show, I'll say again, they just need top stars on this brand and not always focusing on Roman Reigns facing old people, I feel like, at this point. Focus on new people and same goes for Charlotte and Sasha and all that other stuff. So that's my whole plan moving forward this year for SmackDown anyway. So that's it. That's your call.
Thanks for making it, Kyle. Appreciate it, man. Thank you very much. All right, we got to wrap up our caller portion there for tonight. We're going to get to emails here in a little bit. Thanks to all the callers. Great topics as usual. But Frank and I will open up the listener mailbag here right now.